Okay, let's get started. And what we're going to do, the next two class periods, I've got this period and the next period. My subject is God, a merciful God. I had a 15-minute talk at the High Bible School based upon this year because I answered a question for a young girl. Is God a merciful God? What this is going to be about, we're going to look at the famine, all the problems that are in countries around the world, people starving to death, and you ask your question, is God a merciful God? And we're going to the next two class periods, look at these people, see why they suffer the way that they do. As we get started, would somebody look up or quote Deuteronomy 6 and 4 for me? Stacy? The Lord our God is one Lord. Okay, again, let's go to Deuteronomy 7 and 9. Now keep these passages in mind, okay? You want to read that for us, please?
Now therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations.
Okay. The Lord thy God, he is God. There's the key emphasis of that verse as far as our class is concerned. Okay, let's look back at Deuteronomy 4:35. Regina, we'll let you get that.
Had you be it was to that thou mightest know that the Lord he is God, there is none else beside him.
Okay. Know that the Lord he is God, and there is none else beside him. There's no other God, no image, no real God of any kind, except the living God of Israel. And I like the style when I speak of God, is the living God of Israel, as David did. He spoke of him as the living God of Israel. Okay, now Mark 12 and 32. What's your name? Natalie, you want to read that?
In the past, in the world, I said,
okay, there is one God and no other but he. All right, now one more, Isaiah 45 and 22. Just in my mind that I don't have down here, I'm going to read it. It's also in chapter 45 here. If you look at verse 5, it says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. So there are a lot of scriptures, young people, in the Bible that proclaim that God is God and that there is none beside him. We know who God is. We know what he is. We know of his omnipresence, we know of his omnipotence, and we know that there's nothing unchanged or untouched by his mighty hand in the universe. That's the way we look at God. Okay? That's the way the old ancient worthies in the scripture looked at God. And we're going to look at some of these ancient worthies today as they called upon the glorious hand of God, knowing through faith what He would do. They're going to call upon His hand in times of need. And by no way, I don't want you to think when we get through with this class that you can snap your fingers or pray to God and instantly something's going to happen. That's not true. Okay? I think that the scripture that was read in your hearing from Psalms 34 this morning will tell you that. He will bless the righteous. And though we might have things and problems today, we're not looking at things to be solved in this life. We know we're flesh. Okay? Jack, what we will end up doing if we live according to those laws is we will be blessed in the kingdom of God. Okay? That's our ultimate goal. Okay? Is God is manifested in the earth and His kingdom. I'm going to read this as I go down so I don't leave anything out. I'm not a good reader, but if I leave anything out, I'm gonna lose control of what I want to get forward. And I want you to listen carefully, because you're going to see a lot of things that I'm saying here that you yourselves can see taking place today. But yet God still is a merciful God. In areas around the world, there is famine in the land. Children are starving to death. I know that you've seen on TV the children. If this doesn't work on your mind and heart is not in the right place. Because we don't like to see these things happen. But if you just have the knowledge to understand why it is, it will help you yourselves. Okay? And I don't think there's a person in this room that has ever wanted for something to eat. And there is a scripture that tells us that he, in Psalms, that he has been old, and but yet he young, and then he was old, but yet he had never seen the faithful begging bread. That's something to remember. Many lands are war ravaged. I've seen that for the last 20 years. I know you have. Earthquakes are shattering the countries. And also tidal waves and volcanoes. These are natural things that are happening in the land to destruction, even unto death. As we see these things taking hundreds of thousands of lives of men, women, and yes, children, do we ask ourselves, is God a merciful God? These things are taking place. Well, let me prove to you that God is a merciful God. To those who love Him and do the commandments that He has given us, and we can prove this and will by God's own words and scriptures of our Bible. The question that was asked me about a year ago by a young lady takes in just what I read. She said, why do these things take place? Well, I hope within the next 2 hours that I can show you why these things take place. Okay, God will tell us in the scriptures what will happen if we do obey and what will happen if we do not obey. And in one place in the same chapter, He said, this is what I'll do if you will. Right over here, He said, this is what I'll do if you don't. I don't like to use the word justice, but with my small vocabulary, I couldn't find another word. But there are two sides to justice, okay? We don't want to fall short of the wrong side of justice. And justice will be done in the earth if we obey the commandments and the way that God intends for us to live. We will be on the right side. Need we complain if we do not live accordingly and do not end up on the right side? We shouldn't complain. It's up to us. Okay, in these laws, God gave them to us. He intended us for us to live by these laws. Bar none, this is it. He's a merciful God, but he's very stern, and he's a jealous God. He says he is. This is it. Not might, not if, it is shall. Should is recommended. Shall is mandatory. Okay? That's God. It shall. I want you to turn with me now to the 26th chapter of Leviticus. And I'm going to read this, young people, because I do want it on the tape. I want it to be clear. And I want to stop when I need to. And expound upon these scriptures. Going to read this whole chapter. It's almost the whole chapter, but not quite. Okay, verse 1, chapter 26, Leviticus. Laws concerning obedience. These were given to the children of Israel, young people. But we are the seed of Abraham, though we are Gentiles, baptized into Christ's name, we're Abraham's seed. And these laws were given to us also to live by. Okay? It says, ye shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up you a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. That's pretty plain to me. Very plain. Not an image, not anything, Sheldon. Because this image is not God. He says, am God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, he says, this is what I will do if you walk this way. And I want you to realize, as we read down through here, and remember the famine and all these things, no rain comes down on the earth, no crops are grown, and starvation. There is the answer for that. He says, this is what I'll do. What happens when we have abundance of rain? Things are beautiful. The crops are 100-fold, are they not? So as he gives us these things, don't think of it as just a rainy day. He told us, this is what I'll give you. Says, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. What else could Israel have asked for at that time? That was, you know, in a sense, though, that was their living and their livelihood. What else could they ask except a place in God's kingdom? And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new, And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Now we're going to get into the other side. This is what he'll do, Jack, if we don't do this, okay? And we need to know what he will do then, as well as we need to know what he will do if we do obey. But of the increase of the things that it takes for us to be able to sustain ourselves and to reach the kingdom of God are all in those verses we just read. All we need to have to eat for this life, all the things that he would bless us in for us to reach the kingdom of God, that's all we ask. Okay? We're going to find out later on that there's a lot of people around the world are not that fortunate. Okay? They're definitely not that fortunate. And we'll find out why. Here's another question. He said, but if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, this is the bad part. And I want you to listen to it very, very closely. And if ye shall despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, and neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and I will not hearken unto me, and I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. Now what that means right there, young people, is of all the increase that they would have, they could cook it all in one oven, if you do not hearken. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in my fury. And I will chastise you seven times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries into desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. Now, we can go on here. We're not going to have time to go on through that chapter. But I just want you to get the feeling and get the idea of what God has styled here for the way that we should live. Okay? And that's according to his commandments. All right. I also want us to, before we go on, to turn to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Verses 13 through 17. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord hath given you. These things can happen, and we have seen them happen. Okay? Now I want us to look at some of the things that are going on around the world. We realize, young people, that right now the Lord here is speaking to who?
Israel.
That's right. These are also to us, as I said a while ago. But now we're going to look at the nations around the world that are suffering right now. And we're going to see just exactly what they worship. We're going to look at some of the things that they worship. And we just got through in six different places in the Old and New Testament, heard God say, I am the Lord thy God, and there is none else beside me. Okay? So let us look at them. Every little third world country in the world has got an idol God. And every time you see this written, incidentally, it'll be with a little G, not a capital. Okay? They worship that image, and cattle, ground, rivers, everything that God has given them to prosper on, they worship it instead of him that gave it to them. Okay, to name a few, look at India. What does India worship? Brahma cattle. Got more of them than they can. They just run over each other over there. But yes, they worship this cattle. And they can't butcher or slaughter this cattle to feed their people because it's a god unto them. God gave them beautiful Brahma cattle for their increase. Okay? But they won't slaughter them to eat them because they're a god unto them. What has God done there? Okay? Now realize we're talking about the world here. We're not talking about in the body or in. But yet God works in the kingdoms of men in or out of the body. They are starving to death, Stacy, in India because they worship something that is not God. Go ahead. That's true. So there's one particular instance is in India. Okay, what is Egypt? What do they think is there? What do they look at? Well, it's possible. I don't know of that. But what is their main source? You got it. That great river, the Nile. From the time of biblical times to now, they've looked upon the Nile, and even some of those people that are still backwards over there, they worship that Nile River. The Nile flows through there, and it is their irrigation, their increase, the way that they make their livelihood. That they worship the river that God gave them, not God, for giving it to them. See the difference? Okay, we all know what's going on in Africa. Starvation, no rain, no crops. What do they worship? of ground. They worship the actual ground that their increase should come from. They do not worship God. Let me style that a different way. Serve God. They do not serve God. Okay? They serve what He has given them for their increase. Okay? If they had served God and given Him credit, the one true God, and given Him credit for all those things that they have, what do you think might have happened then? What do you think?
They would have increased.
They would have increased. I believe they would have. You know, in the United States, there is a lot of people that are not fortunate enough to have the truth as we have it. Okay? All the world, we might stop this. But within the United States, our idols and our images are the things we enjoy. Okay? You know, if we got some big old 16-foot boat out here in the backyard, you know, to go to the lake with, we can let these things become an idol to us. Okay? But not so as much as some of these third world countries that I'm speaking of, that really the calamity has really come down on us. Let me finish here, Susan, just a second. There are people starving to death in the United States, but I want you to realize and understand in the back of your minds that there's not as much of worshiping. They think they serve God, they just don't do it in the proper manner, in the proper way, okay? In truth. There is starvation in the United States. We do realize that, but it is a minimum compared to what we see around the world. So, we should not serve the things that God has given us, but serve God for giving them for us, to us. And of our increase, then we'll continue. He didn't give us this 26th chapter of Leviticus here just to be writing. He said He would, did He not? He said, I will cause the rain to come in this new season. So, though we see some hard times, though we see small droughts in the United States, Shelton, we're not starving to death. Okay? Susan, I'm sorry. Well, I would say suggest that, you know, the communist countries there that do not serve God, their increases as far as that is concerned is next to nothing anyway because of the overpopulation. Russia is having to buy grain all over the world because they have not enough. But God has other things in store for that power. Okay? Yet, that is a superpower today because of God's plan and purpose and the way He is working it out. Okay? But they too are suffering. And I want you young people to realize and know that we should not ever serve, we can't serve God and mammon. And we don't serve the country in the way that other people do. Okay? But just please be realize and know where you are and think that you are fortunate for being here, because God has blessed you in that way, that you are where you are. So never worship the things that God has given you for pleasure or for your survival. But worship or serve God alone. Him alone, because He has given us these scriptures to say that He is God. Okay, are there any questions? Okay. Am I getting my point over? Okay. I think in young minds that we have to understand and realize that there's a plan and purpose for mankind, but it's God's way and only His way. And if we understand what's going on within the world and why it does, then we, Jack, ourselves, should be able to learn from prior mistakes, right? Look at Israel's mistakes. We take those mistakes. Religions around the world right now think that the Old Testament is over and done and forget it. You know, Christ hung up on the cross, the New Testament from there on is all you need to know. But you can't prove one without the other. And we use the lessons that were from the Old Testament to guide and direct us today. You know, if we can see the mistakes and what they went through, you know, we've got this brain that works. Let us use those and not do them ourselves. I have a little excerpt here that my wife typed for me. And I want to hand these out. I really want to end my class with this tomorrow, but I want you to read this. And I want you to understand that by the way that we live and conduct ourselves right now is the utmost of importance and top and number one for us being able to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? It's not what's going to happen over in Israel. These are signs that are given to us that we know that the time is near. It's not because some earthquake happened in Mexico, we know that things are coming upon the earth of destruction as we see these problems happening in the world. It's not what we see in these far off countries. We can use these for signs of the time, and we should. The main thing is the way we live and conduct our moral life and to whether we enter the kingdom of God or not. Okay? That's what this article is going to tell you. You can look over the typographical errors in this, but do read this. This comes from, I don't know whether y'all get the present day events in your area or not. They are really good at showing you what's happening around the world. Okay? And this is styled Quiet Times, Not Really. They're not just really quiet. Not a whole lot going on right now, but you'll notice that God is still working. Okay? And if someone don't have one, I'll give them this little pamphlet right here. Are we going to have a bell? You know? Okay, I want you to read that at your leisure right now or whatever you want to do. And I want you to be prepared for me to read this with you in our next class as we finish off this morning, okay? Haven't had too many questions. I know I'm not getting through to you that well. Any questions? Okay. Okay, what we should do then, after we've seen what is actually happening in the world, and that there is truly no true serving of God in a lot of these countries, let us go then to some of the ancient worthies, as they called upon the hand of God and served God in a manner that was pleasing in His sight, I don't want you to get me all wrong here. God does not visit man as he did in the days that we're speaking of, okay? He doesn't visit man in that way, okay? So, let us turn to 1 Kings 18, 21 through 19. Realize that Elijah, and who Elijah was a righteous man that called upon the hand of God. Okay? What we're going to read here is a little story of what happened to the worshipers of Baal when Elijah called upon the living God of Israel. He did this, young people, in faith. He knew God like we should know God. Okay? He knew what would happen because he knew God. So he called upon his hand. Let's look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods. Do we have in your Bible there, is there a capital G there? It says, call upon the name of your gods, or Baal in this case. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Okay? Now call upon the hand of Baal, you worshippers of Baal. And if he answers with fire, then he is fire. Well, Elijah knew before he ever made that statement what was going to happen. Because he knew the living God of Israel was the only one true God. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even to noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. You imagine this most ridiculous thing? Can you imagine what was actually going on there? Almost makes you look back at some of the silly stuff that went on in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? That they would call upon a god in this way or this manner. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. And he said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or is he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. For we know that God slumbereth not, the living God of Israel does. But here's Elijah mocking them, because he knew at the beginning that Baal would not answer with fire, because Baal did not exist, only in mind, as these worshippers of Baal were. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner, with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when the midday was past, and the prophet And they prophesied until the time of the offering and of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the 12 stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. He was definitely, beyond a shadow of doubt, going to prove to those worshippers of Baal that God was the living God of Israel, the only one God there. But does fire consume water? Doesn't work, does it? That's what we use to put fire out. So yet he is still mocking the worshippers of Baal, is he not? And he said, Do it the second time. So they filled the barrel the second time, you see, and they poured it over the altar. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time, and the water ran about round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And I want you to understand and realize how here that Elijah called upon the hand of God. He wasn't rolling around on the ground. He wasn't jumping upon the altar, young people. He wasn't doing anything. But all he did was call upon his glorious name. And he, in his prayer, was actually saying, Let your name be known here to these worshipers of Baal. Let it be known. Now let's listen to his prayer. He done it in prayer. And let's see what happened. Verse 36, And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, capital G, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, or Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He not only called upon the name of God, but he gave him the credit right there. He says, And let it be known that I've done this at thy word. I've done this because of your mighty hand, God, not because of what I did. I'm your servant, and I serve you truly. And let it be known that you are God. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Listen to what happened. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now, I do hope y'all get the emphasis and the real situation here, and the reason why that I chose this to show you what happens if we serve God in a manner that is pleasing in His sight. He doesn't visit men as He visited Elijah at that time anymore. Okay? That's not going to happen right now, children. But if we serve God, call upon His name in time of need, things aren't going to happen right away, but they will work out. And our ultimate goal in calling upon His name is to reach the kingdom of God. And if we have to suffer inequities in this life, it's not going to hurt us too bad. Do you remember what Jesus Christ suffered on the cross that gave us the opportunity to be able to partake of that kingdom? Young people, we don't know what suffering is. We haven't even come to any suffering. if we used our heads a little bit, we might realize that in our inequities and being flesh, we truly are suffering at this time. But in the way that we are living today, just please realize those before us, what they suffered. Let us call upon the hand of God, because this is our duty. Let us understand also that through the suffering that some of the people that are recorded in the scriptures and some of the things we read, some of these people died a violent death, preserving the truth. Okay? The apostles, think of the apostles. Okay? And if you want to read a book that should inspire you, is the I'm trying to think of the author first. I know the name of it. Anyway, it's the Apostle Paul, Jew, Tarsian, and Roman. Okay. Read that book. I think it comes in hardback. If you want it, comes in paperback if you want. If I was ever inspired by a life that was truly lived and serving the living God of Israel, and the Apostle Paul being a small man, a sickly man all his life, and how strong he really was, and what it meant to him to teach the truth to those that were around him. If it doesn't inspire you, then you truly need some work. Okay? And that man was run through with a sword. John was supposedly boiled in oil, disfigured. But yet he had the courage and the strength, young people, to receive the revelation on the Isle of Patmos after that. Do you think we suffer? Those men endured that the truth should stand. Okay? The reason being that they called upon the hand of the living God of Israel. They knew of His existence, and they knew of His omnipresence and potence. They knew that the universe, nothing in the universe was untouched by His great and glorious hand. Are there any questions? Smart group. Okay, let's go to 1 Samuel 17 and 26. Some of you might have been in Arkansas a couple of years ago, where we actually studied David there a few days, and how he called upon the name of the living God of Israel. That's one story I usually go back to, because, you know, one time I was at hunting camp. I don't like to tell the story here, but in hunting camp in West Texas, it was Brother Wilson Sankey and his family, my family, Brother Mike Coode, a lot of these young people sitting right here with us was there. And before we did anything on Sunday morning, we had our services before we went hunting. Right, Jack? That's the way it was. And Brother Wilson Sankey conducted those services. For the young people, it was on David. And this was in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And he didn't know it, but there was a little older brother back there sitting there that was learning as much as those young people was, but I'll never forget that class. He opened up a new light as far as the way David served God to me. That's why I've always used this chapter, because it was so inspiring to me there. It should be inspiring to you as young people. And David, as young as he was when this incident took place, but when he went out to meet Goliath, and he did not say, young people, that to Goliath, he said, I will take your head off, or I will slay you and do this or that. What did he say? Okay, he said, the living God of Israel will deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to tell you what, young people, that's serving God in the right way as far as realizing that without Him we can do nothing. Okay? And I'm not going to go all the way through this story, because I think y'all know it pretty well. Okay? How that David, without fear, and he really couldn't understand and realize that here was the whole host of Israel on this mountain. And they were trembling because of this 9-foot giant that was walking up and down the valley on the other side. But, you know, they were scared to death, Jack. And here was this boy, what was he, 17 at that time? I believe that's right. Walked out there, and we're going to read here. Look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, and we're going to see what he said to him. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Listen to what he says. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? Israel was a chosen few, weren't they? They were a chosen people to God. They were God's people. He said, this is the living God of this is the army of the living God. And David couldn't believe that the host of Israel standing there trembling at this 9-foot giant. And the emphasis here is how David called here upon the hand of God. Who is this Philistine that defies the living God army? Okay, now I want us to look over at let's start at verse 42. That same chapter says, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He was a young man. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, small g. Okay? And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Let's back up there. And what he's saying, he says, I will deliver you to these wild beasts and fowl there. Now let's see what David says to him. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He says, this is my weapon and this is my shield. And he says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host to the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So, I hope we can get the emphasis here. Because when we serve God, this is the manner in which we have to serve him, knowing that all things are by his bountiful hand. David realized this. David knew that there was a living God in Israel. And when he came up against this 9-foot giant, he did not fear because God was his shield and his spear. And other times through David's life, as he got a little older, and God gave him the commandment there to cleanse the land of Israel of all those people that were idolatrous people in the land of promise there. David never forgot that God was God. He always, if we look at the Psalms and the Psalms of David, we should realize this, shouldn't we? As he prayed to God continuously. Now, when he went out to battle, David, he asked for God's guidance, and he asked for the victory when he went out to battle these people. When he returned, he gave God thanks for the victory. Do we give God thanks every day for the things that we have need of? I want to emphasize on you young people that we should never go through a day, never, when God should not be in our mind at some time, giving him thanks for that day, for things that we endure that day, and for being able to endure them. And most of all, as the Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, for those things we have need of to sustain this life in a place for that, in that glorious kingdom. Well, that's our ultimate goal. That's all hand, Jack, with you.
I think it's kind of easy
way
to go down, face down, mm-hmm. Whenever
you die. Has some significance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure does.
I think that's the way, you know, everybody that doesn't serve the Lord now, they're going to fall down.
That's a good thought. Everybody hear that? Goliath falling face down. Are there any questions? Man, that's smart, bunch. I think at 10:30 we're supposed to take a break, right? I've got about 5 minutes, and I'm going to run out of tape if I don't stop.